Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
I keep forgetting this song is on Fridays. This is awesome. One of Mark Schlereth's favorite songs right here. And the question becomes, do you let the thing roll, or do you kind of fade it away a little bit? Now you say let it roll.
You got to let it play out until we hit the crescendo here, like the big moment here. So then that's when I tell Benny, when we get there, because we're right about there right now, I say, go ahead, let this thing breathe. You come and go. You come and go.
I'd like to meet Camellia someday. Have you ever met her?
No.
I think it's her anyway.
Her. It.
Hey, by the way, Mike Evans gone today. Jerry Schimmel sitting in for him with Mark Schlereth with Stink. And a good week so far, my man.
It's been a great week.
Yeah,
it's been a little bit hot. I mean, it felt like it was hot yesterday, but it's been a good week. Yeah,
good
week.
All right. And a lot of stuff happening, obviously, in the world of sports, especially locally, with the Avalanche and the Nuggets and the Rockies and, of course, football. They're all coming together at one time. First day of training camp today, which is finally upon us.
Right.
Which everybody's excited about. We're locked and loaded on training camp, of course, here at the Fan.
I think our intrepid reporter, D-Mac, will be out there today.
I think
he's got the... he's like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. I think he's got the golden ticket to go out and watch practice today. So hopefully at some point, well, we won't because we'll be off air by the time they get on the field, right?
Right.
But D-Mac will be reporting. I believe he'll be reporting all day throughout the various shows after practice, I think, and obviously on the drive, I believe. So D-Mac has got the golden ticket.
Okay.
He'll be out there all day reporting for the Fan.
Okay. Here's my question with D-Mac. If you check in with him and say, hey, what's happening out there? Do you have enough time for him to tell everything? Because he likes to talk. That boy can go.
Yeah, he can go. Which is kind of, sometimes it's nice to have that guest, right?
Yes,
when
yes,
you're
it is.
Like some, when you're struggling on the radio, like on Thanksgiving and nobody's around and, you
been
know.
Been there.
Yes, yeah. Everybody, anybody who is, that's like a rite of passage. I once did, when I was first in radio, Jerry, one of my first times in radio, you'll love this. I was in the Clarion Hotel in Bristol, Connecticut. Mm. I mean, the bed mattress was made of a sheet of cardboard. And I had, you know, a little like hotshot radio thing hooked to the phone, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing radio from my room on Thanksgiving Day from Bristol, Connecticut in the Clarion. And it was like crickets. So my producer at the time was actually calling his friends to have him call the show.
Yeah,
can you bail my buddy out and call
been
the
there.
Show? Oh, my
so
God.
Been there. Because you go on the air with that, and I've been there. I used to do this weekend thing at this station in Kansas, and nobody's listening. And I was talking to myself for 3 hours.
Right, yeah.
And you go in thinking, yeah, I can get this covered. I got lots of subjects. And you start talking, go, man, I just hit all my 7 subjects, and I still got 2 hours to go.
Right. Or you get into the midst of a segment, you think what you've got is going to get you through this 8 or 10 minutes. And then you get to you blow it. You go blow through it, you know, and you're like, you're slinging fire and brimstone, right? Lines are empty. Nobody's on the text line. And you're at 3 minutes. You still got 7 to fill, you know? Oh, yeah.
You know, even if you're doing a broadcast of a game and it's a terrible game and it's a blowout, at least you got something in front of you can talk about. You can describe the action.
Yeah.
But when you're not doing a game, you're just filling in a sports talk. That's a challenge.
Yeah, sometimes
it can be a challenge.
Yeah, sometimes it can be a little bit a little tough.
It's Friday, so is it It is it just me Friday? So hit our text line if you want to today. It's the RamosLaw.com text line. That's 303-713-1043. Is it just me or whatever you want to write? And we'll keep our eyes on those. And, we get some good ones coming up. We'll read those on the air. But is it just me Friday is always a lot of fun. As we mentioned, everything kind of coming together in this town sports-wise. We got the Nuggets taking on the Raptors today. Let's hit the head on that real quick, Stink. And then the playoff series, the real basketball, starts on Monday with a playoff series against the Jazz. So today is kind of a tune-up for the Nuggets. I don't think they're going to play their starters a lot, which I'm okay with. But getting ready for Monday, that is going to be a difficult series. The Jazz are good.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because, you know, I always tend to put a football mentality to everything, which doesn't always necessarily mesh mm-hmm. with the way, like, baseball operates or with the way that basketball operates. And so, you know, there's part of me that was fine with the way Michael Malone played it, trying to get to the Jazz. Instead, you know, they feel like that's a better matchup for them than the Dallas Mavericks. And not that you're trying to lose, but you're not necessarily, you know, neck and neck in the fourth quarter with your starters and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I always come in like preseason games. They don't count, but they do matter. It matters how you play. It matters how you set the tone. Like all that kind of stuff mentally to me when it comes to football is important. You know, I always not hated. I love baseball, but I always kind of hated the 162 game season where, hey, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Shower it off. Yo, we'll be back. You know, you can't take them all personally. Right. And there's part of that that I understand, but there's part of that that bothers me. So, just you being a basketball guy and you calling the Nuggets for years and years and years, what did you make of the way Michael Malone handled, especially the end of the Clippers game and the end of the Lakers game?
I was okay with it. I understand where you're coming from, and I get your point. That competitive nature kind of comes out in a fan, like, hey, you got to try to win every game no matter what. And then things take care of themselves after that. I'm okay with it for a couple reasons. Number one, you're getting ready for the postseason. You're in. So you're getting ready for the postseason. You want your team to be at its best when you head into that series on Monday. So you do whatever it takes to get to that point. And I think that's what Michael Malone is doing. Secondly, I think in this whole COVID thing, you're not robbing fans of, and that's what the NBA has been accused of. Hey, you don't put your best players out there. You know, LeBron comes to town and he doesn't even play. Come on. Well, that doesn't work anymore now that you're in that bubble. It really doesn't matter. There's no fans there at the game. There's fans watching, of course. So, I don't think you're cheating anybody. And I think Michael Malone in his mind is getting ready to have a playoff series against the Jazz. A little better matchup, perhaps. But you know what? NBA basketball it's a whole, well, any playoff, any sport's a whole different world. But NBA basketball is a whole different thing. It is a different animal than the regular season. Everything changes.
Yeah, there's just this machismo kind of NFL attitude, like, you know, we'll line up in the parking lot and play you. We don't care who, you know. There's a different thing. Yeah, I remember one of my college coaches, Keith Gilbertson, one of the great coaches, coached in the NFL for a long time, just coached all over the place for a long time. He'd like, we'll walk up to Sam in Idaho, you know, we'll walk up to Sam, playing him in the parking lot. I don't give a, you know. And so there's that mentality that I've been brought up with that, like, I understand the principles, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, I understand trying to keep yourself healthy and keep yourself in the right, you know, rhythm and all that stuff. But the mental aspect of it, the toughness aspect of it. And I understand you got to try to get, you may have to play some guys that you weren't necessarily planning on playing when you walked into the bubble. I don't know that you were really planning on Michael Porter Jr. potentially starting when you walked into the bubble.
Right.
So
exactly.
I get there's a fine balance there.
Here's the key. Now that you're in the playoffs, now you start on Monday, now you've got to get that mental toughness. All right, let's forget about all the stuff that's led up to this. Uh-huh. It's a whole different world. Let's go out and play some basketball now starting on Monday. That's the key right there. All right. Anyway, training camp 2020 is locked and loaded. It is brought to you by Mile High Appliance. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Broncos getting going and especially their offensive line. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Silta Har Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Silta Har's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Silta Har's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Silta Har Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
I'm Jerry Schimmel sitting in for Mike Evans today with Stink, with Mark Schlereth. It is as well, Is It Just Me Friday? And we've got a good one here. Is It Just Me on the text line, or is Nolan Arenado the best third baseman of all time? That's one.
I didn't get to see who people compare him to, like Brooks Robinson back in the day. I didn't get to see that, but I don't know how many runs a game he saves, but I'm telling you what, you know what's must-see television? Watch Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story play when Kyle Freeland pitches. Because Kyle Freeland is a ground ball machine to the left side of the infield. And, you know, and it's so funny, baseball anymore with, you know, their baloney spin rates and their this, that, and the other, and everything's analytics, and let's get people out of the game that actually have watched baseball before, and all the garbage. Like, there was a day when throwing ground balls and turning double plays was a really important aspect of baseball, and now it's not until you watch Kyle Freeland play and then watch those guys just suck up baseballs like vacuums. I mean, we've gotten so spoiled watching Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story.
Trevor's not too far
tremendous.
Behind. Not too far behind.
But
him
just flashing leather.
Yeah.
I mean, we just get to the point where we watch the sublime look routine and we're like, oh, that's just the Nolan being Nolan. It is so true. I sit and watch. I marvel at their ability.
I do too. Left side of the infield is the best in baseball with those two.
Absolutely.
Defensively, and you put their bats together.
Well, I watch guys like Nick Ahmed, who just left town, you know, and he's a really good defensive player. I watch some really good defensive players. Who's the guy in Cleveland? Lindor, he's phenomenal, right, at shortstop. But I just watch the total package of the ability to run, the ability to move, the ability to throw on the run. There's no question that that's the best left side of an infield in baseball.
Yeah. Best third baseman of all time, I'd have to argue that probably is Nolan Arenado. That's a good one. All right, hey, first day of Broncos training camp. Let me ask you this, Stink. That first day of training camp, what's that like for a player? Were you excited? Were you, oh, boy, here we go. This is going to be a long training camp. Let's get to some games. What was the mentality for you?
The mentality was
day one.
Day one is you know what you're walking into. You know.
At least when you're a veteran.
Right. You know what you're watching. I'm talking about how long the season is, how much of a grind it is, how much it's going to take out of you mentally,
you're
how much it's
going to
take out of you physically,
really?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to be slightly touched to understand all that you're going to put yourself through and still willingly, you know, put one foot in front of the other and walk out there to practice. You got to be slightly touched to do that. Cause it is a, you know, you're going to get hurt. You know, you're going to break fingers. You know, it's a grind.
Yeah.
We used to always go out back when I was playing, we'd sit in Greeley and all the offensive linemen bring their helmets, shoulder pads, and you have a big helmet full of tape, you know, for all your extremity, all your fingers and wrists and everything. So we'd all walk into the weight room. We'd walk out of the locker room into the weight room, and we'd be there, you know, about 45 minutes before practice was about ready to kick off. And we'd all just grab a piece of equipment, whatever the, you know, leg press, leg extensions, whatever they were. We'd all sit on there, and then you start pulling that tape out of your helmet, and you'd take one finger at a time. You know, this finger and then that finger and then that finger and then your wrists and then you get yourself ready. You know, you get yourself ready for what you're about. You know, it's essentially, you know, you don't want to liken it to a war and all that, but you're going to battle every day. You're going to battle.
What?
And the crazy thing is we used to say it all every year. as we all got all taped up, we were all ready to go, and it was me, and it was Zimmerman, and it was Tommy Nalen, and Brian Abebe, or Danny Neal, and, you know, and all the guys, and Tony Jones, and we'd all look at each other and go, remember how this feels, because you will never feel this good again.
Not really.
Right, you'll physically, never, yeah. This is the best you're going to feel for the next 7 months, because you're going to feel like absolute hammered turds from this point forward.
Was there that first day of training camp, though, was there that kind of excitement of, hey, we're getting the gang back together here. My friends are here. Let's go. We got the team here.
Yeah.
And we got a goal.
You'd seen each other. You know, you'd seen each other. Like, that was mini camp. Like, we're all back. You know, you've seen it. Now you understand.
You got to go to work.
Right. You got to go to work. And, you know, there's part of it that it still has to be fun. You know, it's still a game. You still have to keep that in perspective. There's still a game to be played. And that part is, it's still fun, but you just know how much work there is to do. And, you know, and it's serious. You don't do your job, you get fired. That's the way it works.
Where was the point where you're like, okay, let's start playing some games. This is enough. And I say that because baseball is totally different than football, but Todd Helton used to say, or he told me anyway, he said, hey, when you get to spring training, we're all excited because we're all together again, like I said. And then he said that first at bat in spring training is really fun. I'm nervous, and this is great. And after that first at bat, I'm like, can we start the regular season here pretty soon?
Right, yeah. I think there is after, and it's definitely different because, you know, we go 2 days and we beat each other up pretty good for the first week or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, after, like for us, after that first week, you're ready. Like, you're ready to, let's
after
get
the first
game
week.
Going. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually it's a couple of weeks before you get into, I think today would have probably been the first preseason game. Yesterday or today would have been the first preseason game in a regular year. So, yeah, you're ready. You're ready to get that, you know, especially as a starter, a guy that, you know, has earned the right to be a starter. You want to get that first series in. Now, nowadays they don't even play. The stars don't play. But you want to get your series in and then get out because that's like that. Like the first preseason game to me is a rest. Mm-hmm. It's a recovery. Like it's the day before you're doing walkthroughs, right?
Yeah.
So that's a recovery day. The day of the game, I get my 7 snaps in. They're going to be hard. I'm going to go to town. I'm going to try to, you know, thunder punch somebody. I'm going to, you know, we're going to try to score as an offense. And then I'm going to take my shoulder pads off and just recoup the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. And the day after is a lifting day. So it's essentially, to me, it was a three day cycle of being off and recovery.
Interesting.
So, you know, I would really try to take care of my legs, take care of my knees, take care of my back, you know, really try to do those things to get myself as fresh as I could for the following week. And then as you're building into kind of, we're about ready to play games and that third preseason game where you start to game plan and all that kind of stuff, like they're not going through any of that stuff right now, which is like, there is something special even in the preseason about facing somebody else, being in the stadium, being a game environment.
Right.
It's just different and you cannot replicate it. I don't care if you go down to the stadium to have a scrimmage. It doesn't replicate having a preseason game.
I got you. Last time we worked together was, 3 weeks ago or something like that. And you definitely had the approach that, hey, the biggest weakness is the offensive line for the Broncos team. Still feeling that way? 3 weeks later?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a big question mark, obviously. I like the signing of DeMar Dotson.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it gives them some needed depth. You know, he's got limitations to be sure, but I think he's a fairly efficient pass protector, which is going to be important in this style of offense. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things going on there. And again, you know, when you look at a football team and you start to look at what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, and you look at this football team, I don't think there's anybody in America that covers this game that would look at that and say, well, that's a question mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the very least, it's a question mark. Now you can manipulate it any way you want to manipulate it. You know, you can sit there and say, well, you know, they played a little bit better at the end of last season and Drew Locke has got the ability to scramble and he'll buy them some time and this, that, which is all great. You know, which is all great, but I still look at it like that would be a question mark for me.
Yeah, I got you. Question mark for sure. I think the question on the question mark is how big is a question mark?
Right.
Is it a concern? How big a concern is it? I guess is what we have to
get. as Gary Kubiak would say, we're fixing to find out.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, we're fixing to find out.
All right. I hadn't heard that word fixing as a verb used that way until I moved to Kansas. And they say that in Kansas.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Hey, stay with us. Next up is Morning Brew.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Lock with the end zone for Sutton. And the diving attempt. Did he get it? Touchdown! What a catch! The first NFL touchdown for Drew Lock. And his parents love it in Denver.
We thank CBS TV for that highlight. Broncos training camp starts today. Day one. Any expectations on day one?
No, you know, it's going to be weird. It's just good to get, you know, it's good to get your entirety of your offense together, your defense together, start working on some of the things, you know, the nuanced things that you're trying to accomplish as a football team. So it's just always good. I think it's always good to have that competition as well. You know, when it stops being just kind of, you know, underpants Olympics and it starts really being competitive, I think that's an important aspect to see, you know, who rises to the top in those situations. And, you know, it's interesting because you see it all the time. You see guys that look good in drills or that look good in whatever. And then, you know, the team drills come around and they just kind of wilt like a flower in the heat, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you see guys like, hey, like Philip Lindsay, who wasn't supposed to be any good or wasn't supposed to make a team or wasn't supposed to be, you know, wasn't drafted and wasn't this, wasn't that. And all of a sudden, every time he gets in, he just looks the part.
Yeah.
It's, you know?
Such a fun part of training.
Yeah, and that part is always fun.
Yeah.
As a player, like as a former player, you'd be like in the locker going, man, did you see the work?
Yeah.
Like, did you see that? You see what that kid did?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, and not, you know, you would never say it in front of him because you don't want him to think he's any good, right?
Right.
But you'd be behind closed doors, you'd be like, dude, that guy can play.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's like spring training. You see some of the prospects. You're
right.
Like, okay, I kind of like what this guy's showing. Next up on Morning Brew.
Sends it over to the right side. Murray using a Jokic screen gets to the free throw line. Back to Nikola. He's open for three, launches and hits. And the first points go to Denver.
He should have took the first shot.
Here we go to basketball. Thanks to TNT for that highlight. Nuggets take on the Raptors today. Then on Monday, they have the playoffs starting against the Utah Jazz. You're not real happy about the build-up for the playoffs with the Nuggets. But, hey, they are there. They're good. They're getting healthy. I think it'd be a lot of fun starting on Monday watching this team.
It will be. It will be a lot of fun. And it'll be fun to see, like, playoff basketball. Because what we've seen these last eight games, I think, is a little bit misleading. Like, where nobody's actually playing defense.
True.
And,
good point.
And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Michael Porter Jr. does under the intense pressure and the different style that is NBA playoff basketball.
Yeah.
You know, it slows down a bit. It gets a little more physical. You know, it gets a little bit muddy down there
And you rely on veterans.
Right.
In the playoffs.
Right. And so it'll be interesting to see exactly kind of where they are with Gary Harris Jr. and his injury, Will Barton.
Yeah.
Because I get the sense that if Michael Malone had his way or his druthers, he would be like, hey, it's been great to develop, you know, Michael Porter Jr., but when it comes to starting, I want a guy, Will Barton, who's been there, done that.
Exactly.
And I would rather go that direction. That's my gut.
Yeah. And Bol Bol is showing a little flash, but I'm not really going to count on him in the flash.
Right. I said 3 weeks ago, and I'll stand by it, he'll be the guy at the end of the bench in long pants. Really long pants.
really
super long pants.
Specially made long pants. Next up on Morning Brew.
Puck is loose. Backhand shot. Score! J.T. Compher. 2 goals in 10 seconds for Colorado.
That's a courtesy of NBC Sports. How about the Avalanche? Oh. Did you see that explosion offensively?
Well, I just watched. I mean, to me, it was the nature of smothering them wave after wave after wave. Like,
prior to the explosion, right?
Yeah. You're just like, like you knew it was going to happen.
Yes.
I mean, even if they gave up a cheap goal, even if Grubauer gave up a cheap goal, you know, and you're just like, oh, maybe there's a breakaway or whatever, and he gives up one uncontested, like you should give that up. But I get it. I still felt so confident after watching the first two periods. You know, I was at the time, I was, because the Rockies game was close at the time. So I was going back and forth, back and forth. And then all of a sudden, the Rockies just laid an egg in the, I think it was the seventh or eighth. I think maybe it was the eighth with Kinley just kind of having that blow up.
Yep.
That I went full time over to the Avs. And they were just, I mean, they were skating with, on tilted ice, man. It was downhill. Like, I felt the Coyotes were like, we got no answer. We got no answer.
I'm watching the game with my son, who's a huge hockey guy. Loves hockey.
Yeah.
He interned with the Colorado Eagles, the minor league team up in Loveland this year until COVID hit. And he said, hey, Dad, something big's gonna happen. They're just playing too good for something, not something big to happen.
Yeah.
Boom, there it was. And I said, I didn't expect three goals in whatever it was,
a minute.
A minute
and 23 seconds or something,
Man, that's a good team. Oh, man.
Well, boy, they are out. You know, it's funny for me because it's easy to see traditional athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, it's easy to see, like, basketball. Like, that dude is a freak. Like, JaVale McGee may not know how to play basketball, but that guy's a freak athlete. And you can see it every time he's on the court, right?
Absolutely.
So there's guys that are freak athletes, like Tyreek Hill, freak athlete. You can see it. Hockey's a little different. And the Avalanche have some guys that, to me, are just, like, they're just different. Like, McKinnon, watching him on the ice
out,
is just different,
right? They stand out.
You're like, that dude's a freak athlete.
Yeah, yeah. I always said that about Gretzky, man. He just stands out. There's something different about this guy. Speed, whatever it is. Anyway, Avalanche, that's a nice team.
Mm-hmm.
And as good, in my mind, a chance to win a Stanley Cup as any team.
Absolutely.
In the league.
Yeah, even odds on you know, even odds across the board on every team.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
Next up on Morning Brew.
Unbelievable career. This ball is drilled deep left center field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Nolan is coming on. He's tied up the ball game with home run number five.
Well, the Colorado Rockies have dropped to 12-6. They've cooled off a little bit, but they're still leading their division. They're 12-6, and they got the Texas Rangers in town now for a series, a team with a losing record. What do you think about the Rockies so far?
You know, I've loved what they've been able to do. Obviously, you have to, you know, from a pitching standpoint, guys, you know this, you call games forever. Guys like to have defined roles. And one of the things they haven't been able to do early in this season is define roles. And they've really relied on Kenley. They've relied on Diaz. They've relied on Estevez. And they've relied on Bard.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the four guys that you've seen consistently. You're going to have to get a little bit more depth out of your bullpen and have some guys that are reliable in situations to get you to 7-8-9.
Yeah.
And when you get 7-8-9, like when you establish that, they haven't really established that yet, but when that's established, Jerry, like, you know, I mean, obviously if you're you get a 7-run deficit or a 7-run lead, you know, those things change, those roles change a little bit. And that's where you've got to develop some depth in your bullpen. But guys like to know, man, I got the seventh, I got the eighth, because you're such a creature of routine. And because I know they're going with Jairo Diaz as the closer, but that's a short leash because Jairo puts a lot of people on base.
Yep.
You know, so there's a little, like I said, I told Mike this yesterday. I'm not worried, but I am concerned.
Gotcha.
I just understand how it works. And so I've got a little bit of concern.
I think Bud Black is thinking that same way. It's like, you know, I'm trying to figure it out too.
Right.
He's the same way. He says, I like to put guys in roles and keep them there.
Right.
I'm traditional that way. I think he's trying to figure out who belongs where and when and what inning.
I completely agree with you.
Well, there's no question he's trying to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And once that will shake itself out unless there are injuries.
Right.
But yeah, that'll shake itself. Even in a 60-game schedule, I think it will. You know what's interesting, Stink, is to look at standings in Major League Baseball. You look at the National League and you're probably not terribly surprised. I'm sorry, you look at the American League, not terribly surprised. Yankees leading their division. Twins are a great team. They're leading their division. In Oakland, we knew they were going to be good. So those are the three division leaders. How about the National League? National League East, Miami.
Yeah.
Miami's leading their division. They're 8-4. The Cubs, that's no big surprise. And who's leading the West? The Rockies. 12-6.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
But, you know, we said it going in a 60 game schedule, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Anybody can get hot.
Yeah.
And like, think about Miami. Miami did it after they shut down for a while with COVID and had like 18 guys. So they were signing people and moving people up from their taxi squad and they're playing really good baseball.
Interesting stuff. All right. Hey, we got the birthday boy coming up next. Cecil Lammy. Mike Evans with a day off today. Jerry Schimmel pinch hitting for him along with Mark Schlereth. And it's time now for our moment to go to Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending. And did I hear, Cecil, that it is your birthday today? Is that true?
That is very true. Me and Mike Mayock and Tim Tebow all share a birthday. So, you know, greatness abounds.
Yeah.
Well, man, you got to feel this shirt.
We talked to Tim Tebow this morning, and he's like, you know what? I share a birthday with Cecil Lammy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was saying that.
Hey, happy birthday, Cecil.
Yeah,
if you were Scott, you'd take the whole week off for your birthday. He does. He takes a birthday week off every year.
Right, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
You don't even get a Friday off.
But here you are grinding. Hey, what are you expecting today from Broncos camp? I mean, what do you, I know there's a very limited media access to Broncos camp, but what are you kind of hoping to hear? What are you hoping to see? What do you, just give me your general thoughts of the start of training camp for the Denver Broncos.
Well, let's open up with Philip Lindsay, right? We've heard throughout this entire offseason, him and Drew Locke basically running those, you know, team workouts, you know, where guys were getting together at high schools and stuff like that around the city. And because of that, you're expecting him to come out and catch the ball cleanly. You know, that's one of the things that I'll be watching for closely when I'm allowed out at Broncos camp, as we know it's, you know, limited attendance and all that. But it's how is he catching the ball? You know, is he catching it cleanly? Is he catching away from his frame? Is he turning quickly upfield and making something happen after the catch? There's no live tackling. And you guys know this. Like, okay, it's very difficult to assess linebackers and running backs during any sort of practice. So, okay, how's he working in pass protection? You know, knowledge of the offense. And then how is he catching the ball? Because, Melvin Gordon's here. Melvin Gordon's the starter. Melvin Gordon's the lead back. Melvin Gordon is a great receiver. Philip Lindsay has been working on his receiving skills. So I want to see that pay off. I want to see a new Philip Lindsay when it comes to catching the ball. And one of the things that I think will greatly help him this year is just playing with a calm mind. He doesn't have to do everything, right? Because he's not the only playmaker, not named Cortland Sutton, on this team. Like, they've got help. They've got other guys. But Lindsay has to prove to Pat Shurmur that he can catch the ball cleanly so that he can earn that role and make this somewhat of a running back by committee.
See, so what's your hunch on Von Miller? Is it a bounce back year for him, back to some old form? What's your hunch with this guy?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is everybody's been saying, like, better than ever, right? Mm-hmm. When Vic Fangio says, like, oh, he's got an attitude like he has now the last few years, I think, well, one, you've only been here a year, Vic. And two, I've been around Vaughn since he came into the league. I've been around Vaughn since his Senior Bowl in 2011. Like, he's always had a great attitude. So if it truly is, I mean, teammates are telling me, coaches are saying it in press conferences, like, if it truly is better than ever, this renewed attitude, he watched The Last Dance, he, you know, didn't do any commercials this offseason, like, he's totally focused and dedicated to football even more than ever before, I think that's great news, and it could be greatness there. Now, I've said for years, like, Vaughn's got a 20 sack season somewhere in his career. And I don't think that's going to happen at this point, but let's get 12, let's get 15. I think those are fair numbers to assess, to project for at least double digits. And I do want to emphasize, especially because, I confused Vaughn last year in a press conference with this stat, and it was a horrible question. I could barely spit it out, but I'm better now. Von Miller led the league in incompletions and interceptions caused by his pressure. So while his sacks were down, he still was making that impact, and it showed up on film. It just didn't show up in the sack column.
Yeah, there's no question that Vaughn is still an elite-level player, but you got to have that. You know how this league operates. I mean, you're going to get paid at that position. You got to compile stats, and you got to compile sacks. And, that's just the way it goes. I want to ask you about, real quickly, your take on the Kansas City Chiefs, because you know, we heard that, hey, there's no way they're going to be able to get Mahomes done and Chris Correct. Jones done. And now it's Travis Kelce's done. And I mean, I tell you, as much as, you know, like, as much as I root for guys to get paid, I watched that go down yesterday after George Kittle gets signed to the biggest contract in tight end history, and then Kelce shortly thereafter agrees right. to a deal that's just $1 million less at about 14 a year. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh gosh, the Kansas City Chiefs are reloading, retooling, and we can't get Justin Simmons done. What were your thoughts about the Chiefs and Travis Kelce?
Yeah, disgusted, basically. I mean, yesterday was bad news for the Broncos. One, the Chiefs are keeping things together. I mean, we usually see Super Bowl champions, and you got a window, year or two. You know, Seattle should have had two. They got 48. They should have had 49 if they ran the damn ball with Marshawn Lynch. But, you know, usually have that window, and then guys, you know, teams get stripped, right? And that's not happening with the Chiefs. So I think it was bad news for that. I also think it was bad news just the tight end. That's what you're going to get now. So, look, if Noah Fant works out, and here it goes back to the Justin Simmons thing, and I've said it before, like, Sutton's contract coming up, Chubb, you're going to have to pay Drew Lock. Dalton Ryan is going to get paid. Like, okay, now Fant's going to get that? If he works out? I mean, oh, my God, get Simmons done. Get Simmons done. It'd be a bargain in a couple of years. You got the decision on Von Miller. You got Kareem Jackson. I mean, Jarrell Casey. I mean, you have all these interesting contract situations after this year, and you're not even yet in a championship window. So yesterday was bad news for the Broncos. They didn't have anything to do with it.
Birthday boy, Cecil Lamby joins us. Hey, final question, the most important one. Birthday plans. What's happening today with you?
Getting ready for Nick and Cecil tonight at 7 p.m. and just hanging out with the family. I might actually drive the Shelby today. I've only driven her about 150 miles this year, so you know, I might actually get a little Shelby therapy and get behind the wheel.
You got to do that. It's your birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Give yourself a birthday present.
Maybe call DeHuff and see how he puts a birthday week together. You can't even. You can't even take a birthday day. He'll give you a birthday week. Like, there's a trip to the zoo, and then there's a trip to the aquarium, and then
there's probably some skateboarding mixed in.
Skateboarding at the skateboard park. I mean, every day is a new adventure.
He likes to go to Ready Care too, doesn't he?
Yeah. Urgent care.
I'm sorry.
See his friends at Urgent Care.
Yeah.
You know.
See his friends at Urgent Care.
Mix it in. You know. Yeah, change it up.
Yeah. Exactly. Swing by. Spend a couple. I'm gonna go spend a couple hours at Urgent Care, honey. I'll be back for dinner.
Hey, Cecil, have a great day and a great birthday. Thanks for getting up and joining us. Yeah, on your birthday. Appreciate that.
Well, I certainly appreciate you guys. Appreciate my family. You guys take care.
Yeah. All right. Cecil Lamby, one of a kind right there.
He's awesome.
He's an interesting dude, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of energy even at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
He is presented by Golden Oak Lending, by the way. And then what?
I just said amen.
Oh, wait, okay.
No, amen. He's got all kinds of energy all the time. He loves himself some football.
Yeah.
Don't ever cut off Cecil like that.
Yeah, he's great. He's awesome.
He's fixing to have a good season.
He is fixing to have a great season.
Covering the Broncos.
Yes, indeed.
All right. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about the Broncos after this.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.